Soothsayers, psychics, fortune tellers, and crystal ball gazers all try to do what only God can do: accurately predict the future. The Bible is full of trustworthy prophecies that give us a glimpse into the future and help us understand the meaning of approaching history from God's perspective. Bible prophecy has its skeptics for sure. Among the doubters are those that disbelieve the supernatural or doubt the existence of God altogether. They are the ones that perform dating gymnastics with the text of Scripture. We should never doubt the one who calls himself the Alpha and the Omega. He knows perfectly what happens from the beginning of time all the way to the end. I'm Ron Jones. Something good starts right now.
Hello, and welcome to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Crossway Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I'm Brian Davis, and whether you're listening on radio or online, thanks for making us part of your day. Well, we've got a real treat for you today as Ron takes us to Daniel chapter 2 and to a critical moment in the life of both Daniel and the Babylonian Empire. It's a story about a dream, but more importantly, the interpretation of that dream, and the power of God to reveal the future to whomever he chooses. The series is called Standing Strong, and you'll find it under the library tab at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. You can also listen and subscribe to the podcast at Spotify or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Now, here's Ron with today's Something Good radio message, a look back at the future.
If you're a history buff, you love living in the state of Virginia. Catherine and I and the kids left the promised land, the state of Texas, well over a decade ago. We came to Virginia in 2007, landed in Northern Virginia, as many of you know. We were in the D.C. area for nearly a decade, and then we came south here to Virginia Beach. But one of the things we love about Virginia is the history. Starting in the nation's capital, I mean, it's like a living history museum. We loved all the sites. We loved all the places to visit: the Jefferson Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Memorial. When friends would come, I'd always tell them, you got to go to Mount Vernon. That was one of my favorite locations and sites there. George Washington's home, his beautiful home on the Potomac River there. I mean, the nation's the White House, Capitol Hill, all of it is there. It's exciting if you love history. Then we came south here to Virginia Beach, and as you're coming into the Virginia Beach area, traveling east on I-64, you pass Williamsburg and Yorktown. More history for the history buffs, right? And it's just a great place to be and to live and to be a part of history as it's being made. We're making history every day, right? Somebody will write about the times in which we live just as much as we go back in time and we live through the pages of history. And that's an exciting thing to do, to go back in time and to walk through the pages of history. But equally, if not more exciting and thrilling, is to go forward in time through the pages of Bible prophecy. Any prophecy, Bible prophecy enthusiasts here today who love the study of Bible prophecy, I hope you do, because the book of Daniel is full of it. And we get a little glimpse of it even today in Daniel chapter 2, the latter half. Daniel 2 gives us a glimpse backwards in history and a glimpse into Bible prophecy. That's why I call it a look back at the future, because we're going to go back 2,500, 2,600 years ago to a time when God gave to a king named Nebuchadnezzar, who was king of the Babylonian Empire, a dream that frightened him. And Daniel, God's man in a godless culture, God's man in that Babylonian culture, was a man who could interpret visions and dreams and all of that. Much of the prophecy that we're going to look at today for Daniel was all future. It was prophecy, except for the present kingdom, which was the Babylonian kingdom in which he was living at that time. But all the other kingdoms, the rise and the fall of the major world empires that this prophecy envisioned was future to Daniel. We look back at the future and see much of it as ancient history. We now have the history books to confirm in great detail what the prophecy envisioned. And that's a pretty exciting thing. The book of Daniel is, of course, a biblical biography at its best. The title of this series is Standing Strong, and we learn so much about standing strong in our faith from Daniel and his three Hebrew friends. But again, this Old Testament treatise also contains breathtaking glimpses into the future through these intriguing Bible prophecies, these divine prophecies. And in chapter 2, for example, God reveals his plans and his purposes through a panorama of world empires that Daniel saw from that time forward. If Daniel were living today, he might say to us, "Hi, my name is Daniel, and I'm standing strong in ancient Babylon by interpreting dreams and visions and prophecies revealed to me by the God of heaven." And before we get specifically to Daniel chapter 2, the latter part of it, I want to just ask and answer the question, why study Bible prophecy? Why does Bible prophecy matter? Because a lot of people, when you start talking about Bible prophecy, they kind of roll their eyes or they shrug their shoulders and, you know, they kind of think it's a waste of time. I couldn't disagree more for the following reasons. First of all, what is Bible prophecy? Well, prophecy is the foretelling of future events. There are a lot of people throughout history, even in our time today, who think they can predict the future. Can anyone really know the future? That was a question that came to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar. He had a dream, and the dream didn't inspire him. It frightened him, and he called together all of his wise men and his counselors and his enchanters and his astrologers and all the Chaldeans, the wise men of Chaldea. And he says, "Tell me what I dreamed. Tell me the interpretation of the dream." They couldn't do it. News came to Daniel. Daniel bought some time, remember, came into the presence of the king, and he says, "I'm sorry, king, no man on this earth can do what you ask him to do. Can anyone really know the future, let alone what you dreamed?" And then Daniel goes on to say, "But there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven who is a revealer of mysteries. Can anyone know the future? Not apart from God. But the God of the Bible predicts the future in stunning detail. Not just, you know, hey, you're going to have a nice day today like the average horoscope does. Stunning detail. This is this area we know as Bible prophecy. Number two, nearly 25% of the Bible was prophecy when it was written. That's why you study Bible prophecy. If you don't want to study Bible prophecy, if you think it's a waste of time, then you think that 25% of the Bible when it was written is a waste of time. And I know you don't think that way. You're on the edge of your seats as much as I am in the study of this. This is fascinating stuff. 40 to 45% of the prophecies or predictions made in the Bible have already come true. Again, in stunning detail that makes you sit on the edge of your seat. Just realizing what an awesome God is the God of the Bible, who is a revealer of mysteries. Number three, prophecy also helps us understand history. It's a look back to the future, as I like to say. Dr. John Walvoord was the president and later chancellor of one of my alma maters, Dallas Theological Seminary. And in the 20th century, before he passed away, he was considered one of the experts in Bible prophecy. He would appear on various news organizations when there were world events that intrigued us as it related to Bible prophecy. He said in his book about Daniel, "Among the great prophetic books of Scripture, none provides a more comprehensive and chronological prophetic view of the broad movement of history than the book of Daniel." All right, prophecy helps us understand history. And then finally, Bible prophecy authenticates the Word of God. This is a reason to study Bible prophecy. You will have more confidence in this book we call the Bible the more you know about Bible prophecy. Because here's the standard to which God holds himself when he predicts the future. He says, and I'm paraphrasing, "Horseshoes isn't at play here. You know, close counts and horseshoes. If you're almost accurate or almost, you know, true in your prophecies, does that count? No, not where God is concerned. He says, anybody, any prophet of mine who speaks on my behalf and through whom I predict the future, the standard is 100% accuracy. Close, only counts in horseshoes, not in Bible prophecy. If you're 99% true and 1% false, you're a false prophet. That's the standard in Scripture. So throw out Nostradamus, throw out astrologer Gene Dixon from the previous generation, throw out the Long Island medium, Teresa Caputo, okay? Only the God of the Bible is a revealer of mysteries. And he gives us a glimpse here and a glimpse there. It authenticates his word, that this truly is the word of God. And I'm so glad that he preserves even these stories, like the story from the book of Daniel. So let's return to Daniel chapter 2. Where we left Daniel last week was standing in front of the king saying, King, there's nobody who can do what you've asked them to do. There's nobody, there's no man on earth, no enchanter, no diviner, no astrologer, no wise man who can tell you what you dreamed, let alone the interpretation of that dream. But there is a God who reveals mysteries. And Daniel says, can you give me a little time, king, and I'll come back with what you dreamed and the interpretation. Then Daniel calls that prayer meeting together, remember, with his three friends, and they pray, and God reveals to Daniel the dream, the mystery, the interpretation. And we left it there last week. Let's pick it up in verse 31. When Daniel returns to the king, and he now reveals and summarizes the details of the dream. Verse 31, you saw, O king, and behold, a great image. This image, mighty and of exceeding brightness, stood before you, and its appearance was frightening. The head of this image was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. As you looked, a stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold all together were broken into pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, became like dust. And wind carried them away so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Daniel tells the king what the king dreamed.
Next, the second half of today's Something Good radio message with Dr. Ron Jones. But first, he joins me to talk about his latest book, The Jesus Way to Pray. Ron, we continue to hear great things about your book, The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Tell us, why did you feel like it was something you needed to write?
Thanks for the question, Brian. You know, I think all of us, no matter how long we've been following Jesus, can use some help with our prayer life. I know I can. And I'm supposed to be a professional at this, right? I can totally understand why the disciples approached Jesus and asked him to teach them how to pray. Fortunately, the model prayer Jesus gave his disciples is recorded for us in the pages of Scripture and preserved for nearly 2,000 years. It's known worldwide as the Lord's Prayer. I call it the Jesus Way to Pray.
Ron, one of the things you talk about in your teaching series, The Jesus Way to Pray, is that Jesus taught us to pray with priority. Talk for a minute about what that means.
Well, Brian, to say, Lord, teach us to pray, as Jesus' disciples did, is kind of like asking Michael Jordan or LeBron James to teach us how to play the game of basketball, or Leonardo da Vinci to teach us how to paint a masterpiece like The Last Supper or the Mona Lisa, or Michelangelo to teach us how to sculpt a marble stone into David or the Pietà. Truly, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus.
And so many of us are glad you did, Pastor. Again, that book is called The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Request your copy for a donation of $25. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Each chapter of The Jesus Way to Pray ends with discussion questions, which makes it a great resource for small group study. That's The Jesus Way to Pray. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Daniel was faced with an impossible task, one that all the wise men of Babylon had failed to complete. But Daniel had someone on his side that the rest of the empire did not. Here's Ron with the rest of today's Something Good radio message, a look back at the future.
And he says, King, you dreamed of this great image, a terrifying image. Now, the interpretation of the dream took longer, but, you know, in less time than it took to deliver the Gettysburg Address, in less time than it took to read the Ten Commandments, I think I counted on, in 155 words, Daniel told the king what his dream was. And before we get to the interpretation, which will take some time and some detail, let me just summarize what Daniel summarized to the king that he saw, this great image. And he says this image was made of gold. The head was of gold. The chest and the arms were of silver. The belly and the thighs were made of bronze. The legs were made of iron. And then he goes all the way to the feet that he says is a mixture of clay and iron. And what Daniel sees here in this image, and the image that God gave to the king in this dream, was a sweeping span of world history that pictured the rise and the fall of the great Gentile empires from about 600 BC all the way to the end of the age, to the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's a huge span of time. Now, again, for Daniel, except for the top and the present empire, the Babylonian Empire, which was the head of gold, and we'll explain that in a moment, all the rest of it was future. It was prophecy. We look at most of this, and we can go through ancient history and confirm this was spot on. This is amazing. I mean, there are things in this image here that Daniel would never have known unless God had revealed it to him. And so in verses 36 through 45, we get the interpretation of the dream. Now, before I go into this, keep in mind, Daniel summarizes what the king saw. Remember, the king was like, you got to tell me what the dream was and the interpretation. His astrologers, his sorcerers, all of that said, you've never asked that before. King, you tell us what you dreamed and then we'll tell you the interpretation. Well, of course you would. You can come up with your own interpretation, right? You know what I dream. King says, no, I need to know that you guys aren't a bunch of frauds because I'm kind of thinking you are. These were probably the wise guys that his father had put in place and he didn't really trust him. Daniel comes along, he tells them the dream. But before he goes on with the interpretation, Daniel, he doesn't do this. He doesn't say, King, have I got it right? Are we tracking here? Is this the image that you saw? No, Daniel has such confidence that he had a word from God, he doesn't need the confirmation from another human being. He doesn't even ask the king, have I got this right? Because the king, I just kind of picture him with his eyes wide open and his jaw dropping to the floor. And Daniel moves right into the interpretation. Let's read this beginning in verse 36. He says, this was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. You, O King, the King of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power and the might and the glory, and into whose hand he has given wherever they dwell, the children of man, the beasts of the field and the birds of the heavens, making you rule over them all, you are the head of gold. Verse 39, another kingdom inferior to you shall arise after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze which shall rule over all the earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, because iron breaks to pieces and shatters all things, and like iron that crushes, it shall break and crush all these. And as you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. But some of the firmness of iron shall be in it, just as you saw iron mixed with the soft clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw the iron mixed with clay, so they will mix with one another in marriage, and they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. A great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. I love Daniel's confidence there. I got it right, King. No discussion. I don't need any confirmation from a human source. That's a pretty detailed description here. Let's break it down. Let's take a look at this image again. And what we have as Daniel interprets this is, again, the sweeping flow of Gentile human history and the rise and the fall of Gentile empires from about the time of 600 BC all the way to the end of the age. It starts with the head of gold. And Daniel is very clear about interpreting this head of gold and this empire as the Babylonian Empire. He says, you, O King, the King of kings. Now, he's not the King of kings. Nebuchadnezzar is not, like Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But what Daniel is saying is, King, there's no king like you on planet Earth right now. And that was true of the Babylonian Empire. This was the superpower of its day, the Babylonians were. They came to Jerusalem in 605 BC and besieged Jerusalem and took back for 70 years of captivity, the Hebrew people and the best and the brightest among them, including Daniel and his three friends.
Nearly half of all prophecies in the Bible have already come to pass. That's just one more reason to fall on our knees and worship the Lord of all creation in spirit and in truth. You're listening to Something Good Radio. Today's message, a look back at the future, along with all of Ron's messages, can be heard on demand on your schedule at somethinggoodradio.org.
If somebody tells you they know the time or the hour or the date when Jesus Christ is returning, they know more than the angels of heaven. They know more than Jesus himself said he knew. Because Jesus said, nobody knows the day or the hour of my return except the Father. But there's coming a day. We wait in hope. We wait in faith for that time. We don't know when the movement and the rush toward the end of the age, and boy, we're in the midst of it right now, will culminate in what I believe the next event in Bible prophecy is, the rapture of the church. You take the church out of this world, and all the forces of tyranny and authoritarian government by the elite few take over in a nanosecond and coalesce in the rise of a world leader known in Bible prophecy as the Antichrist. And we're off and running in what's called the tribulation period.
That's tomorrow in part two of Dr. Ron Jones' message, A Look Back at the Future. Join us then for Something Good, for Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.